Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, Jonathan Scruggs. Well, now, we were told before same-sex marriage was accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court, 5-4 at that, that, hey, what does it matter if two gays want to get married? What impact does it have? And unfortunately, there is a conflict in terms of the acceptance of same-sex marriage legally and the full freedom of religion, which is part of what this whole country was founded for in the first place. Jonathan Scruggs and I are going to discuss this specifically in reference to a case going on in Phoenix, Arizona. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Now, this radio station was ultimately founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy and James Dobson and Marlon Maddox and Larry Burkett and others founded the Alliance Defending Freedom, originally called ADF, Alliance Defense Fund. And just for those not familiar with it, what is the purpose of ADF?
Well, our purpose is simple. It's to keep the door open for the gospel. And we do that through many ways. One way we'll talk about is litigation. We do so through strategic efforts really focused in kind of the legal and public advocacy areas. We enable people to go out and live out their faith and protect them through our legal system as best we can. Because we do live in a great country where people can't express their beliefs freely. Those beliefs are under attack, and so we exist to ensure that people can continue to express their beliefs, to tell others about the gospel, and to live out their faith, not just inside the church, but inside the church, outside, at their jobs, and in the public square.
Okay, now, I understand that there is a company that is calligraphy-based company. They cater to wedding ceremonies and so forth. And they're based in Phoenix, Arizona, and they're in trouble because they don't agree with same-sex marriage, and their conscience won't allow them to participate in that. So tell us about that story.
Sure. Well, and really, they're not just calligraphers. They're really artists, and calligraphy is part of what they do, but they do a wide variety of things. They paint prints and paintings. They do things for businesses, hand lettering, signs, and whatnot. But a large part of what they do is to create artwork for weddings. And you can go to their website and see some of the beautiful things they create for invitations, the detail, the work, handwriting. Everything is custom made for particular clients. And the name of the company is Brush and Nib Studio, and it's owned by two young ladies who are Christians, and they want to live out their faith in their work. And it's really appropriate since they're artists because they're inspired by their vision of God, really. Their definition of beauty comes from their religious faith, all right? And so it's really obscene to force these Christian artists to create something that essentially violates their beliefs, to do it from scratch, to force them to go into their studio and create something that is problematic. And so that's really what's happening here. They own this studio. They want to only promote events and messages that are consistent with their faith. But the city of Phoenix has passed a law basically saying two things. One, preventing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and also preventing someone from issuing any communication that suggests that anyone is objectionable or unwelcome based off of various protected characteristics. Now, to boil that down, that all kind of sounds pretty legalese, if you will. But when you apply these laws to our clients who operate this studio, is that because they create artwork for opposite-sex wedding ceremonies, the government forces them, or the law requires them, to create artwork for same-sex wedding ceremonies too. But even worse, the law also prevents them from posting on their website or for even telling their clients about their religious beliefs about marriage, because that could be considered offensive or objectionable. So what you have here is really a twofold violation. A, the law is forcing people to create artwork against their will that they find offensive, and B, it's silencing their beliefs. So this case really is about artistic freedom. the right of artists
and the free
to
speech.
Create and to speak in accordance with their beliefs.
Yeah, I mean, what about the First Amendment? And here I don't mean the first two rights, which are religious in nature, but just the First Amendment in terms of free speech.
Exactly. This is a violation of their not only their religious beliefs and their religious rights under the Constitution, but their right to free speech. And that's, we filed this lawsuit on their behalf, and that is one of our main arguments, that this really is basic common sense, right? Not only Christians should be concerned about this, no one should be forced to create and to speak something that really goes against the core of who they are. You know, let's say a group is protecting the environment, which, you know, many people are, and that's good. They shouldn't be forced to create things that say the environment is bad, for example. So this really isn't just about the rights of Christians, which it obviously is because it deals in some, you know, with Christian beliefs, but it's about the right of everybody just to live and to create and to operate their business without the government coming in and really forcing them to participate in an event and to say things that violate the core of who they are.
Okay, now, when did Phoenix pass Phoenix City Code Section 18.4B, which is, I guess, the statute in question?
I believe off the top of my head, I want to say it was in the law's been around for a while, but they've amended it various times and added various requirements, including the ones on sexual orientation, two or three years ago, so 2012, 2013.
Is there any link between this conflict and the Obergefell decision of the Supreme Court June 26th last year?
Well, there is a link. In fact, one interesting thing is after that decision, our clients who are on social media and, you know, they are alive and they see the news reports about that decision and people responding to that decision. And that was one of the things that led our clients to go and investigate the law and say, hey, what can I do here? What are my rights? What is threatening my beliefs?
So in a sense, these two artists are saying they're being proactive. They're not saying we're going to go ahead and be like the florist who was sued. You know, shouldn't have been sued, or the sweet cakes people, they were sued, they shouldn't have been sued. But it happened to them. Instead, these people are being proactive.
Yes, and the legal term for this is called a pre-enforcement lawsuit. And that basically just means challenging a law before it's actually enforced against them. Now, it's important to stress that many people find this strange, but it's important to stress that this happens all the time in the law, that various groups, and not just Christian groups, conservative groups, but very frequently liberal groups do this. For example, often doctors will challenge anti-abortion laws or pro-life laws before months before they go into effect. So this is very a frequent occurrence, and it just makes sense for our clients because people shouldn't have to go to jail and to pay the government fines in order to challenge an unconstitutional law. So for the law in this situation, it has severe consequences. It imposes 6 months in jail and up to $2,500 in fines for each day our clients violate the law. So our clients can't risk actually violating the law and going to jail. It's hard to file a lawsuit when you're in prison. They took the only sane option that anyone would take, right, is challenge the law before it's enforced, which is a very frequent occurrence, and ask the court, hey, court, protect my rights. You know, the guillotine is hanging over my head.
Right.
Protect me before I go to jail. And that's essentially what we're asking the court to do.
And I don't know if you remember this, but when the Obergefell decision came out, or about a month or two later, Robert George, Princeton, very respected Princeton professor, or at least he's respected by Christian people in this country. He led the effort, along with several others, of constitutional scholars, basically saying, I'm sorry, but the Obergefell decision was unconstitutional, and we should not abide by it. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of chaos that's being caused, but who is the Supreme Court, 5-4, to say to take the powers of God, really, Almighty God, and to say, we're going to redefine what marriage is. I mean, this defies millennia. Of actual traditional rights, and it defies and it goes against the laws of nature and of nature's God. So God bless your clients.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate any prayers anyone can pray, be praying for our clients, because filing a lawsuit is difficult, right? It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
But they had no other choice. They view their business as their ministry. Their way to share God's beauty with others.
And who found who? Did they find you and call you, or did you find them, or how did this even come about?
They contacted us because they were afraid. They saw in the news reports, as you mentioned, it's everywhere. The baker, the florist,
right.
Everyone, these Christians getting sued. They didn't want to lose, they didn't want to go to jail. They feared for these things. So they wanted to know about their rights, and we helped inform them and gave them the option of, like I said, hey, you can either risk going to jail, or you can take the civil and appropriate track and ask the court, hey, court, protect me. This is an important case that really delves with, can Christians operate their business in accordance to their faith? And even more so, can anyone, operate their business and live and speak without being compelled to really pledge allegiance, in a way, to this orthodoxy that the government has put on people?
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you would think that from all the rhetoric of groups like the ACLU, that they supposedly, they say things like, well, the only bill you'll get from us is the Bill of Rights, that kind of thing. The only thing we care about is free speech, even if it's odious free speech. That's why we're going to go defend the Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois, where there's 7,000 survivors of the Holocaust were still alive in the 1970s when the ACLU went to Skokie to defend the right of the Nazis. Hey, we don't necessarily agree with this, we don't agree with this free speech, but there should be free speech. But when it comes to the rights of Christians to disagree with, same-sex marriage, where are they to be found? I mean, they're not, and they don't seem to care about trampling over the rights of conscience.
I think that's a good point. I mean, if you just look at the headline, city compels artists to create artwork that they find offensive, right? You would think, generally the arts world is a more of a liberal group,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think they'd be up in arms that Hollywood, hey, this is our artistic integrity, this is our artistic freedom. Government, how can you do this? Singers, songwriters,
it doesn't work that way.
Would pile on,
does it? Yeah.
And say, this is horrible. This is an offensive thing. But as you noted, the rules are a bit different depending on what message is being espoused. Thankfully, the First Amendment doesn't work like that, and that is basically the core of our case. That the government cannot compel people, including our clients, to violate their religious beliefs, to espouse and to create something. And let's, get down and get into the details. Essentially, the city of Phoenix is coming in to the art studio of our clients and forcing them to create from scratch a piece of artwork that violates their religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
That is a direct assault on artistic freedom, on freedom in general. And our lawsuit seeks to nullify those governmental efforts.
Yeah, what if you had an African-American printer and they were told, okay, this KKK group wants to have a rally and they need a poster made for their rally, and they want you to do it. And the African-American printer said, I can't do that in good conscience. Oh, well, you do it or we're going to sue you. I mean, what's the difference between that and this particular potential lawsuit?
There really is no difference. And we can bring up 1,000 hypotheticals. We could think of, should a homosexual singer be forced to sing music at a church rally? You know, and the answer is that's no, you know, because everyone should have the right, you know, to express their beliefs
right.
authentically. And that's all that we're asking for is equal treatment. We're not asking for special treatment. And so our clients, and it's also important to stress, you know, our clients are willing to create art for anyone, for people of all sexual orientations, for people of all types, but they just can't create art for certain events and with certain messages that violate their beliefs.
All right. Well,
this isn't a case about discrimination. It's a case about freedom.
All right. Telladf.org for more information. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for being with us. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.